Welcome, brothers, to the Master Builder call. It's April 22nd at 7 p.m. I want to start on time. We've got a few brothers on the call tonight, and I appreciate you being with us, taking your time. I know there's inspections going on. There's lodge meetings. I've had a couple of emails apologizing for not being able to be with us, but that's why we record the calls. So we'll say hello to those who may be listening at a later date. Also, I had a request last month to put back on the website the ability to download the call so you can not only listen when you go to the Master Builder's website, you can just listen there on your computer, but also there's the mechanism there so you can download the call and listen on your mobile device, copy that. It's an MP3 file, so you can copy it anywhere that'll play an MP3 file. So I thought I'd mention that. Well, I see we have more brothers jumping in. So what the topic is tonight, you saw advertised in the email. We're going to dialogue and share information about, you know, what can you do to bring out more brothers to your lodge? If you listened last month, either live or on the call or on the recording later on, we had Brother Dan Horinko, who has published a new book, The Craft-Driven Lodge, and he describes a whole process about having a conversation which draws out of the brothers in your lodge what exactly they are trying to accomplish in their lodge, what they would like to see as far as making the meetings more enjoyable for them. And so that's the topic this evening. What I thought I would do would start out with some information from my own experience about how my lodge, New England Lodge here in Worthington, developed some methods that we brought greater interest to our lodge meetings. And it all centers around along the same lines as the concept that Brother Horinko brings out in his book, and that's, in our case, simply ask the brothers what would make the lodge meeting more meaningful for them. And I'll share some of those comments with you. This is really taken from the Master Mason's Lead Better course, and those of you who have been to your workshops know that we talk about an aspect of leading others, and that be building positive, meaningful relationships. And as a leader, as we bring out in the workshop, that's one of your valuable tools, is understanding your lodge brothers, understanding why they're there, what they expect out of masonry, and as a leader, crafting something around those wants and needs of your brothers. But you can't do that unless you build a relationship. And as part of that session in the Mason's Lead Better Workshop, if you recall, I present a graphic which gives you an example. For example, you have a lodge, let's say you have 100 members, and you regularly have 20 show up and actively participate. Well, that's 20%. And the question I ask is, do you know why those other 80% are not there? Have you identified those who, because of age or illness, cannot be there? Have you identified those who may be out of the area? Have you identified those who have a need that's not being fulfilled? And one of the things we talk about, too, is do you know those brothers who may have come and really no one connected with them, no one paid attention to them, which is horrible, but do you know what that 80%, what it's comprised of? And we talk about in the workshop about reviewing that 80% and reaching out and finding out, do we have poor communication with them? Did they come and we presented poor we had poor execution of programs or rituals? They came to our meeting and they were bored. Remember in the workshop we talked about, I played Stephen Defoe's audio presentation about the Masonic restaurant. And they take good food and make it better. And his point being they didn't. And so you need to understand, first of all, what you've done to communicate with this 80% maybe that's not showing up. Well, we can do a number of things as lodge leaders. We can all sit around. Let's say your lodge officers sit around and you come up with all kinds of ideas that you believe that would make the lodge experience more interesting. But that's just a small group of guys. So to expand this and...
That's not the new guy.
I'm going to mute us. I'm getting a little background. As I was saying, you may be, as an officer group, come up with some wonderful ideas, but if you implement those without understanding if they're important to the brothers, and maybe they're not, then you've not accomplished anything. Well, let me relay quickly some information I have from an effort that New England Lodge took on several years ago and how we extracted some information from our membership about what they would like to see when they come to Lodge, what kind of activities, what kind of education, what kind of training. And it all centered around just asking them. This all came out of a couple of efforts that are very important. One was a series of meetings which we examined as a lodge what we did, who are we, what do we do, and who are we serving, what were important things for us to do. And we met as a small group to begin with, and we kept expanding that until we developed in a manner pretty similar to what's in Dan's book, The Craft Driven Lodge, what New England Lodge would like to see. And this came from all of the Lodge brothers, not just the officers. So as a part of that effort, one night at Lodge meeting, we just passed out little index cards. And at an appropriate time, we asked the brothers to write on those index cards things that we asked the question, what can we do as a lodge to make our lodge meetings more meaningful to you? And we asked each brother to think about himself and what would make these meetings more meaningful for him personally. And so I want to read you a few of the thoughts we got from brothers, and it helped us implement some things in lodge meetings and change some things, all directed at trying to fill the need of these lodge brothers. And it was pretty cool. Worked really well. And these are just actual comments from some of these cards. The first one, planned training classes to learn lectures and degree work. I found one-on-one to be very helpful. A second comment, I would like to hear someone who would make me stretch my mind. I would like to hear someone who is an expert in his field inform and inspire me with new ideas. How about having a philosopher come to lodge and lecture? Another comment, a brother who is asking for a telephone committee be reinstated. We used to have one. We don't have one anymore. Use that as a means of communication. A meal before the meeting, good education program, service call to action after each meeting. I'll pick out a couple more. Someone asked that we have a discussion around what's a deeper meaning of why we are New England Lodge number 4. One brother said he would like to hear local speakers of note, maybe a mayor, a bank president, someone else from the community, a business leader. And another comment was get more of new members to attend and spend less time at the business of a stated meeting and more time having fellowship in the dining facility. So anyway, these are some comments that came about from just asking the Lodge Brothers what they would like to see. So what we discovered was that from our planning group, we had identified some main areas of emphasis, and after we asked the question in Lodge one night, a lot of the comments I just read fell into these areas of emphasis. And these areas of emphasis came out of our lodge dialogue was the members wanted to see more opportunity to learn about leadership development. They wanted more activities and fellowship. They wanted more education. They wanted the lodge to communicate better with each of them. And the last piece was community outreach. So what this whole process did for us was help us solidify that this planning group, and we did send this information to all of our lodge members for their comment, but this planning group was on the right track. And so what came out of that? A couple of examples, and then I'll ask you on the call to jump in and give your ideas. But one thing, we asked our lodge education officer to vary the type of programs presented and not just stand up and do one on his own, but use various brothers as presenters. So we reached out to the brothers who had interesting professions. And, for example, we had one brother, a past master of our lodge, who was a military helicopter test pilot. And he came in, Rich came in one night, talked about his job. And he was in his flight suit. He passed around his night vision helmet. Let us try that on. We had an interesting program one night by a new Master Mason, and the Lodge Education Officer had worked with him, and he did what he called a walk around the lodge, explaining the meaning in his own words and his own viewpoint of the various symbols in the lodge, and that was really cool. It was an education program for the brother plus for the brothers assembled, and made a very interesting presentation. From this whole thing, the master streamlined the meeting agenda and charged the stewards to, you know, improve the after-meeting meal and allowed us more time as one brother asked us to do, to just sit around and talk and get to know each other. And we had better food, too. That was a bonus, too. We did have a series of guest speakers from other community organizations and had them explain what they did and how our lodge could be involved. So that was that part of that community outreach that one brother had asked for. And we took these communication comments to heart and now have an active committee at the time assessing how we can improve our various forms of communication. That 80% I talked about in the beginning is, even though they're out of the state and can't get to regular meetings, I think you know that those brothers want to connect somehow. So just hearing news of our lodge and what's going on and the activities is important to those brothers who not only are out of state but are ill and can't be at our lodge meetings. So that's the process New England Lodge took. And if you, as I said before, if you read Dan's book, Arts and Sciences Lodge, which he took that, he explained the process that Arts and Sciences Lodge used to develop that whole new lodge. It was around a whole bunch of dialogue. And the brothers understanding, communicating with each other and building relationships and knowing each other well enough that they put together a lodge based on those. So what I would like to do is just, you know, As you think of anybody on the call tonight who wants to jump in with some thoughts about how to get more brothers in your lodge, that's the experience from New England. I've just unmuted everybody, so let's see how it works. If we just, anybody have a comment, just jump right in there now.
I do. This is Jay.
Hey, Jay.
I asked that question to the younger brothers that I took to the warden's class, and I asked them, what could we do to make them come to class? They said, well, we have a pool table. Yeah? Why don't we have any cue sticks or cue balls so we can play pool before the lodge starts? So I went out and bought a set. So we're going to take them back to the lodge and see if that works, and I bought a dartboard.
Real simple,
maybe,
right?
Yeah. Maybe this is what they wanted, you know, before lodge meeting. So, and we can do it afterwards. So just to get the brothers together and form a relationship between them, between us, and maybe it'll work.
Yeah. Anybody else? And certainly it's as Jay just said, we ask people what might be important to them. Ask them what they would like to see in their lodge meeting. It's that simple. A leader needs to understand that if they want somebody to follow them, they have to understand what's important to them. And in lodge, if we are going to fill that 80% gap of those Blue Lodge members are not showing up, then we need to understand why they're not and fulfill a need. Who else has got something they'd like to share? Don't tell me you're going to be silent tonight on me. You're going to make me talk.
Well, Brother Mike, this is Mike Kirkab from Las Vegas.
Sure.
If I may.
Sure.
So the... this year, at our first meeting of the year, one of the things that we as a lodge set out to do was raise funds for a building. We meet in an airplane hangar right now, and we're trying to raise funds for the building. Well,
mm-hmm.
We took it a little bit further, and said, okay, well, I think what we need to do is actually build masonry in general in the community, and not just the building, but our presence, our visibility, our commitment to the community. And so we put some programs together that allowed the brethren to not just make financial donations to get their name on a plaque, but and contribute to the building, but every time we do an activity in the community, whether it's reading to students, doing a scholarship presentation, we have a July 4th parade coming up that we're going to be marching in. We'll be staffing a July 4th table, giving out bottled water, those sorts of things. When we have brothers who actually participate, not just in the meetings, but in these events, what we've found so far, every meeting this year, we have brothers, we've had to add chairs to our meetings, every meeting so far this year, because the turnout has been tremendous. We've had record turnouts. And I truly believe it's because we are allowing everybody to get involved in a lot of events and a diverse assortment of events that appeal to each brother. Some people really like doing parade stuff. Some people really like being involved with the school. Others really like being involved in certain types of degrees. And by helping the brethren understand that when they do this, they are building masonry in the community, I think what's happened is they understand the value that not only masonry brings to their lives, but the value that they bring to Lodge. And it's helping us communicate to them that, guys, when you do this, you are adding value to us. Thank you. And so we did this Builders of the Temple program where anybody who not just financial donations, but anybody who participates in at least three activities, whatever they may be, three lodge activities, they are also considered Builders of the Temple, and they get their name on a plaque, and they get, recognized in Lodge for helping build masonry in the community.
Cool.
So far, we've had great results.
Yeah, that's way cool. I want to relate that the Masons Lead Better workshops, I'm over halfway through, and in every district, I ask what if and we're speaking specifically of Ohio, but I think if you did this across the United States, the answer would still be the same. If your lodge was functioning properly, and everything was just humming along just perfectly, and you're heading toward a perfect lodge, well, what kind of things would be going on? And almost exclusively, every district, someone brings up that we would have greater community awareness. And so the story you relate, Mike, about, building lodge engagement around community development, that's pretty cool. I mean, because I hear that all the time. We want greater involvement and visibility in the community and involvement. And the only way you're going to get it is provide the brothers, as you did, with activities to be involved in the community.
Mike, if I could just say one thing. We started
sure.
that in our District 11. I kept hearing that at the Wood County Fair that the Odd Brothers was leaving their restaurant and they could no longer do it. So I went to the fair board and submitted our name, said that we were the first ones to ask for the building, and we're going down next Monday to try to take over that restaurant, which will be the Masons restaurant. And I think it's going to go through really well. The district is really jumping aboard wanting to do this. I think it's going to be a great thing for 21 lodges to meet under one roof and work together and possibly get more people involved in becoming Masons after we get out there and show them what we can do with this restaurant.
Exactly. I think that's cool. I mean, I think back way back, and it's been a long time, I was involved in the JC organization when I lived in Indiana and very active there. And what made us, our organization in my little hometown of 12,000, was the fact that we were out there working on community projects. We planned and put on the Halloween parade in our community. We built dugouts for the Little League baseball field. We built a pavilion at a public park. And the community saw us out there working together as a group, and that brought us members all the time because they saw that we were doing good in our community. The other thing it brought to us is we had a good time when we're out there working hard, and we connected with each other. So when it came to going to a regular meeting, we were there because we wanted to see our buddies again. That's the other thing I've heard in the Masons Lead Better workshop is say, well, we need more fraternity. We need more friendship. And what that tells me is we're not doing enough to connect with one another. So that's a good example of just doing some hard work, and it connects the members and shows the community what you can do.
Right.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
And hopefully we can start working with the scouts in our district.
In what way do you think you might be doing that?
Going to their meetings. They have scouting outings. We have 3 19-year-old scouts in our lodge. Working with them a little closer, I think we can bring in more members and adapting to helping them, whatever they need.
So being an assistance to other community organization, whether it be the Scouts, we in New England connected with, when I was in the officer line, and after, more after than when I was in the officer line, my son played sports. So we one thing we did was contact like the high school football team, and the night before a game, we had a big spaghetti dinner for the football team at the lodge. And so, you know, it's pretty simple. You call the coach and say, "Coach, we'd like to carb up your football team before the game. Would that work for you?" And we came over and made a gob of spaghetti and fed the football team. It was fun, and the coach loved it. So there's very simple things you can do in the community that draw attention if you want community awareness. And as Mike pointed out, you know, serve the need of that brother who wants to be involved in the community more.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One thing I thought of as I was preparing, pulling things together tonight was I was in Kenton, Ohio, at one of the workshops, and the master of the lodge in Kenton that hosted our workshop is a farmer. And I was talking to Jim about, he was asking me, he wanted to ask my opinion of some programming for his lodge. And I think he pretty much knew that it was probably a good thing to do, but he noted that in Kenton Lodge, that's a farming community, and a lot of farms around there, and a lot of members are farmers. So what he did what he's doing for educational programs is he's bringing in people from the agricultural industry to speak on specific topics which would be valuable to the farmers up there. He mentioned he had already scheduled one. He's bringing in a weed expert. I didn't know there was such a thing, but there is a weed expert. And so this agricultural professional is going to talk about weed control for crops. Some other topics, he mentioned several other topics that would be valuable to a farmer trying to grow crops and make a living. So I think that's way cool. And that gets back to you have to understand your lodge. So if I put on a weed program down in New England Lodge, it ain't going to go over too well. That's how you have to look at this whole process. Anyone else out there have some thoughts about how to make more members be attracted to your lodge meetings? Let me throw out some simple things that sometimes we overlook, and they're just real simple things that it centers around. We have to make the brothers feel welcome when they get there, okay? We have to make them enjoy being at our lodge meeting. And I put this list together, a couple of years ago. Just five simple things to improve your lodge is what I entitled it. Number one, greet everyone when they arrive. Have the lodge officers come early and make those attending feel generally well, genuine. That's hard for me to say tonight. Make them feel welcome by greeting them when they arrive. If you don't know them, here's an opportunity to further connect with them. That's a simple thing to do. We already talked about having a brother with an interesting profession or story, present a program. And I think we sometimes forget that there is a wealth of knowledge in your lodge that you have not thought about to tap when it comes to educational programs. I think a lot of times in our lodge education officer, until we discussed how we wanted to approach the education in New England Lodge was always centered on Masonic education, Masonic symbolism, Masonic history. But, you know, mix it up. Like I said, we brought in a helicopter test pilot, one of our members. Another thing that comes to mind that we did, we put on a seminar for our members and their wives. We brought one of our attorney brothers in who did some basic estate and talked about wills and estates and trusts and gave some general information about that to those who came. One of our several of our brothers are in the financial services business and are financial planners and investment advisors. We had those guys come in and put on a little seminar about basic investing and things like that. So that, you know, there's examples of things in your own lodge that can attract your brothers to be there. The other thing on my list was talk to each other. And we already talked about planning time, so you can just sit around and talk. And get to know one another. If you've read Dan's book, I'll keep plugging his book for him. Not get a commission, by the way. he talks about if you go to Arts and Sciences Lodge, it starts at 6 o'clock at the Bag and Nails Pub in Hilliard, Ohio. They have dinner. They have drinks if they so choose, and after dinner's over, they all march down the street to the lodge and start the serious part of their evening. But this dinner beforehand allows them to bring guests, prospective men that they believe might make good Masons to get to know the Lodge Brothers, and the Lodge Brothers get to know them. So however you do it, whether it's a dinner beforehand or in a dinner after, plan that time. If you're the Lodge Master, plan that time to allow that interaction. The fourth thing I talked about is pay particular attention to new brothers. They need to be made aware just how important they are. They need to be introduced. They need to be included in casual conversations. So if you you introduce yourself to a new brother, it is your take it upon yourself to take him around and introduce him to the other brothers in the room. Build that relationship and connection. Find out why they became Masons and what they hope to accomplish, and figure out if your lodge is doing that. And that's another thing that came out of the workshops so far is the Lodge Brothers searching for ways to connect to the younger members. Jay just brought up an example of how they did. They asked them what they want to see. Well, gee, we'd like to play pool, but we have no pool cues. Okay, we'll fix that. So pay attention to these new members and make sure that you understand what they're there for. Why did they come to your lodge, and help them? The other thing, go ahead. I thought there was a comment. The last thing is that and we all know that each lodge has its own challenges. It may be a building. It may be just the challenge of finding men to assume officer positions. And so as you work through these challenges, it's really easy to get down and just look at the drudgery of having to go to lodge meeting, especially if you're an officer, and think about the bad things. And what I said, you need to find the bright spots. What do you have that can be celebrated? And this connection process, this relationship building, maybe it's through working through a community project that's brought up, connects you so that you can take these bright spots and build upon them. Use them as momentum to together work on the challenges. I know it's sometimes I said this Saturday, it's an old cliche, it's tough to be positive when you're neck deep in quicksand with alligators swimming around you. But you've got to find those bright spots. There is, and we're talking about good things to do, good places to find ideas. There are some great ones on the Grand Lodge of Michigan website. And if you go to the Grand Lodge of Michigan's website, just put it in a search engine and it'll pop up. They have a whole page of lodge programming that might be a resource for you. So I encourage you to do that.
Mike, if I can, I'd like to
touch
on the your point four with new brethren, and
sure.
I absolutely agree. But I also think that there's something we need that I don't know that any I've rarely seen it done, but it's a matter of also not just asking new brethren what they want, because that could lead to a laundry list of all kinds of things.
Sure. I got you.
But we also, I think, have to do a really good job of managing expectations. And, what what are the expectations of new brethren coming in before they're before they go through the first degree? What is it that they're expecting? You know, talk to say okay, well, you're joining, but what do you think it is that we're going to be doing? And you know, I hear the phrase, "You only get out of masonry what you put into it," so often, and I've heard it said to so many people. And I've seen kind of a, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense, this puzzled look on the new brother's face. And I think explaining to the brethren that, look, you know what, this is a great organization. We really, you know, try to improve ourselves through introspection and understanding what these teachings are teaching us. We're there for each other to support each other in our growth. But there's work that needs to be done. We do have meetings where we have to do the upkeep of the lodge. This stuff is necessary, and we want you to know that there are going to be meetings where we have to take care of finances. There are meetings where, you know, we have to read, you know, a fair amount of communication and reports. And if we kind of set that expectation beforehand, I think it lessens the shock when, you know, that first meeting they come to, and it's all of that. Right, that they weren't expecting.
Right.
Because those expectations weren't managed.
Good point.
You know, if we you know, kind of nip it in the bud right off the bat, I think they're less likely to be put off when those necessary things have to happen.
A good point.
Right.
We had a discussion Saturday, which your comments prompted me to remember, was that goes along the lines of even before they become a member. We had that discussion on Saturday that really the mentoring process for a new brother begins when that first initial contact is made with their inquiry. And that's when the education process really begins, and your point about managing their expectations and explaining what's going on, so they don't come to that first meeting and expect some wonderful revelation to be revealed, and all they find was that, hey, the lodge ceiling needs painted, and
right.
They argue about what color it's going to be. So,
I think that'll help nip some of that you know, the disappointment that I think tends to happen when we lose those new members because of that. So,
yeah, you're right. But when it all be, I think a lot of what I'm hearing is when it becomes every meeting, all they see is mm-hmm. the business of the lodge.
Right.
Mike?
Yeah.
If I can make a call.
Sure.
We've done a few EAs at our lodge recently, and I'm listening to what you're saying, and something comes to mind.
Okay.
Imagine for a moment, you know, I don't know anybody's religious beliefs, so it's not a religious topic, but imagine, for example, for a Christian going to church on Sunday, you know, they've spent their life in the church. They understand what's going to happen. They understand what's being done. But imagine taking someone who's never been in a church before, bringing them into that church, putting them through the things that church does, and then putting them in their car and sending them home. And when we put our candidates through, they come in, and having been raised last June myself, the first thing that occurred to me when I left after my EA was, wow, that was kind of weird. And nobody ever really sat down. And even if somebody had just taken a part, a small part, like the pillars, for example, and just really broken that down and just said, you know, this is just an example of how there's a lot deeper stuff going on here. And we're not just running around in circles and voting on what doors to put on the front of the lodge, that kind of thing. I think that would maybe create an interest from day one in new candidates where they want to come back because there's knowledge to be found. And I think that that's a great part of masonry. That, for example, the Masonic Restoration Symposium is really working on right now is trying to bring back the deeper knowledge that we have in our degrees.
Sure. No, I think that's a great analogy with the church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, yeah, somebody took me to a church and then I'd never been to one before and went away. Gosh, I'd be mystified, wouldn't I?
Yeah, what are these weirdos doing in here? Why do I want to come back?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, a really great point and how we accomplish that, it almost makes you want to take them through the degree and then do it again with explanation along the way, you know, right away.
Hey,
in other words, go ahead.
I'm
sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, definitely enjoying what I'm hearing so far. And it's just kind of ironic that the last brother mentioned what he did, because I remember, and I am a brother raised in arts and sciences, so, you know, but one of the things that I was introduced to, or what, you know, we do at arts and sciences, literally after someone is raised from the EA degree or they pass through the EA degree, is we have this thing called a Lodge of Instruction, where we take all new entered apprentices and we do exactly that. We go, you know, through the whole entered apprentice ritual, or I'm sorry, basically everything that they have just experienced as entered apprentices, and we kind of break down what each part means so that they do get that understanding. That has been something that has been very beneficial in our lodge in regards to, you know, making sure that, you know, people who join the lodge as entered apprentices kind of at least get, you know, a solid foundation of what it is that they are going through. Because, yeah, just like I'm pretty sure everyone else, you know, when they went through their EA degree, it was like, oh, my goodness, well, you know, I'm excited and confused at the same time. Like, what did I just get myself into? But, you know, so you're running through 101 thoughts. And like I said, what our Lodge of Instruction kind of does is kind of put things in perspective in regards to, okay, hey, this is what you just went through. You know, let's explain it to you. And, hey, by the way, you know, this is what you can kind of expect by being a brother now. So like I said, yeah, I really think that was one thing that was really beneficial that, you know, we do at Arts and Sciences Lodge is that, you know, Lodge of Instruction.
Oh, well, thanks for sharing that, brother. It makes sense to me, really does.
Yeah, and in fact, we actually do it for each degree. So once someone goes through the Entered Apprentice, we have a Lodge of Instruction, and we actually kind of use the Carl Clotty book where it breaks down each degree. So like I said, we do that after the EA Fellow Craft and also the Master Mason, just like I said, as that backbone to say, hey, okay, once again, you know, like I said, here's what you experienced, and here's some historic information to what that means. Now, granted, you know, what each individual takes from Masonry will be their own, but at the same time, you know, at least you're not running around confused trying to figure out what the heck you're doing.
Yeah, how soon after the degree, brother, do you get the School of Instruction?
Literally, so we try to do it
on, and it's been a while.
I mean, it's at another meeting, right?
Yeah. Yes. It's like maybe the week or two later.
Got it.
We do it on a Tuesday. Yeah. So it's literally that same month or the following month.
Okay. And I see how that would be very, very valuable. Really would. Other comments?
Mike?
Yep.
This is Ken Cohen. I think that's part of why perhaps we do our degrees individually the way we do, especially in an active lodge. If you're the first candidate, you might get to see two more entered apprentices the same night. And hopefully there's a brother sitting there with you, helping whisper in your ear and explain it to you. Those are great kinds of programs. There's no substitute for, being the participant first and then being the observer second.
Right. And I know in the case where there's like one candidate, we always, at least we try to take, especially during inspection season, if it's an EA, we try to grab a hold of him and say, come with me, you're going to this EA inspection at another lodge. So they can witness the degree. But if, like you say, Ken, if there's a couple going through that night, just sitting there watching what's going on and having it explained is really valuable.
We just need to set that as our expectation. I think that's an advantage Arts and Sciences has. You're not getting your next degree until you've sat through that school of instruction.
Yeah. I think that's wonderful. I think that's wonderful. Because we're bringing meaning to those words, and those of you who have been to the Mason Lee Better Workshop will hear me and see me several times pick up the Blue Ritual book and say, you know, it's just more than words in this book. You can say those words perfectly, but until we convey meaning to that brother receiving that degree, explain so he can form his own opinion how that's going to affect him and his life and the other things he's trying to accomplish. It's just words. And we need to explain the words, and I'm glad to hear everybody saying that tonight. It's what we need to do. Who else has got some thoughts here? We still got some time.
Hi, Mike. Stuart Huffman from Clark 101.
Yeah?
Going off on that tangent there about, the school of instruction, when I first joined the lodge and became an EA, I almost right away started traveling to other lodges and seeing them put on the degree as well. So I was getting exposed to it all. I think by the time I was finally raised a master, I'd probably seen two or three fellow craft degrees before I went here and got ahead with my master's. So each time, even still, I see a degree, I pick up something different. I think about things, as it goes on and how it relates to what I've done so far.
So you found that very, very meaningful and very helpful then?
Yes.
Good. And this is just, this is just somewhat of a piece of what is, I'm trying to recall here before I say this, but I think, I was trying to remember the source, but there was a study done, pardon me, I can't remember the source, but the first 90 days of a member joining an organization, that first 90 days is the most important for the connection of that new member to the organization. So if we don't, as we're talking about, give them school of instruction, give them meaning to those words they just heard, or that strange ritual that we dress them up in some strange garb and deprive them of some things, if we don't explain that to them, they're just going to walk away thinking how strange. Yeah. And so that first, those, when I said pay attention in those 5 points, pay attention to the new members, this is part of that. Pay attention to their instruction, their education in masonry. And ultimately, at least in my opinion, and I think we'll all probably agree on this, that will connect them more deeply to your lodge than anything else. Because if they know they can come to your lodge and get that kind of meaningful tool, lesson from the degree, and they can, and we help them figure out how to apply that in their life, that becomes something very valuable. And that's what I think the organization should be doing more of, is connecting the tools and lessons, right, Mike, to leadership and to your life, right?
Especially to one's life. I mean, you do that, and I think the leadership, you know, skills kind of follow a little bit, because as you start improving yourself, I think you automatically find yourself in positions of leadership, whether you volunteer or you're voluntold.
That's a new one, voluntold. Is that what that is? Those are those dictatorial leaders we talk about.
I like that.
Voluntold a lot.
Voluntold. Okay. I get it. Well, we're getting close to the top of the hour. Anything else any brother would like to add this evening? Got a few announcements here.
Mike. Just real quick, I was going to say, and just through kind of personal experience, one of the things that has kept me coming back to Lodge, you know, every, you know, month or every time that, you know, I don't have something more important that, you know, personal life needed to be done. But just the delegation of responsibility also. You have, you know, the fellowship. I'm pretty sure with each lodge, you know, each the fellowship between the brothers is going to be a little different. And that's very important that, you know, you get outside of, you know, the business and making sure that there is that, you know, brotherly connection between the members. But one of the things that, like I said, just bringing it, you know, back to the lodge itself is making sure that each brother has a specific role. Now, that role does not have to be, you know, something as big as, okay, you know, you have to know a lecture or something like that, but just, you know, making sure that, hey, brother, you know what, every, you know, opportunity you get, we need you to do this to make our lodge run, you know, smoother. Or, hey, brother, you know, it would be very helpful to the rest of us brothers if, you know, you could do this for us. You know, something, like I said, it doesn't have to be the you know, something big as, you know, sitting in the West or anything like that. But, you know, maybe even to a brother who may only be a fellow craft, you know, say, hey, you know what, we're getting ready to have EA test. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're getting ready to have the EA take his examination. Will you help this brother through his examination, or even give the examination for him? You know, something. You know, just the small responsibilities that delegate to the brothers will definitely, you know, make you know, brothers want to, you know, be in attendance because they feel important. And they, from feeling that importance, they'll definitely feel that belonging to, you know, hey, I need to make sure because if anything, I know that, you know, my small part might be a big success to someone who is new to the lodge and is trying to get the full experience, a full Masonic experience out of lodge.
Excellent point.
Absolutely.
Is getting engagement by giving that small job. You know, I mentioned standing at the door greeting people. That could be a job, an easy job that brothers could do without learning a lecture. But it gives that sense that I'm contributing to the overall effort to make the lodge successful. Very good. Nice comment. I remember you prompted me in telling that we had a table lodge that got all set up, and then the guy in charge had to go out of town or something, and I ended up having to finish the planning and get it rolling. And one thing I did was I picked the new Master Masons that we had from the last, I don't know, 6 months or something. And we brought them in. They came in and they became the waiters for the table lodge and served dinner. And you know what? They thoroughly enjoyed that. They thoroughly enjoyed because they got to interact with brothers they haven't had the opportunity to meet. And we had a good time serving the meal and afterwards, you know, doing the dishes and all that kind of stuff. And they really enjoyed that. The other thing we did one time with new Master Masons, which your comment prompted me to think about, our lodge education officer gave each one of them a part in the Master Mason lecture where they're explaining all of the symbols. We actually have one of our lodges that was in our building had the actual symbols that we put on pedestals all the way around the lodge floor. And he asked each new Master Mason to take one of those symbols and memorize the part of the lecture explaining those. Those guys, they really felt, I mean, and they did an excellent job. Each of them took it to heart. And it was a way to, as our brother Woodard pointed out, to, you know, it just made them feel important. And I think that was cool. Yeah. I think that's important, too. That'll keep people coming back. Well, we're right at 8 o'clock. And a couple of things I'd like to remind you about the Masons Lead Better program. First of all, if you've had your workshop, you know that a part of the program and an extension and a continuation of the dialogue of lessons we talk about in the workshop are continuing in your district, and we want them to continue through the Master Builder groups. So if you have not heard about your Master Builder group in your district, I would ask and encourage you to contact your district advisor, your district education officer, or they don't seem to know, get a hold of me. We have brother, Chris Combs, who I'll be meeting with when he gets back from a business trip, who is coordinating that effort of these Master Builder groups. And it's the kind of dialogue we had tonight, and sharing information, helping a brother through the personal development sections in the Master Masons Lead Better workshop, and then serving as a mastermind group for ideas and supporting each other. So not heard about your Master Builder group in your district, as I said, contact your district advisor, or if you can't seem to find any information, contact me and I'll make sure that you get hooked up with the right person. The next thing is we're going to have another call next month. That'll be on Wednesday, May 20th, 7 o'clock. Encourage you to be with us, and we'll be announcing a topic here shortly. I've got several ideas. And by the way, if any of you listening, either live here on the call tonight or on the recording, has some thoughts about what you would like to hear as a as information on this Master Builder call, I'm open to all of those suggestions. So please bring those to me. With that, I again thank you for being on the call this evening. Brother Mike from calling in from Las Vegas and being a part of our group here and adding your comments. Thanks, Michael. Back.
Thanks
anytime.
For the great ideas. I get on every month and I bring these ideas back to Lodge. So it's I love
good.
It.
Good. Good. So anyway, keep coming back and tell your brothers that they need to be on this call as well. So with that, why don't we all say goodnight to each other and have a pleasant evening and a great Masonic day tomorrow. Okay. Good night, brothers.
Good night, brothers.
Good night.
Be safe.
Good night, brothers.